This episode of Says Who is brought to you by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon, where pretty much every Sunday you get this all over again. You get me and Maureen doing a thing we call the Town Watch, which is like a half an hour. And if you can imagine this looser than what we do now. You get that if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail, because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. Not just one sticker. Every month that you give it that level, you get a sticker just for you. It's great. Anyway, patreon.com/says who.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Books.
Books who?
Books are something that I write.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yep. I set that up and I nailed it.
You did. That's great.
Dan? I'm real excited about Death at Morning House.
Yeah.
More exciting things are coming down the pike.
Okay.
There might be more tour stops added.
Nice.
Tours expanding.
Love it.
And again, if you're in the US and you pre-order it, save your receipt, which is save easy because it's just an email.
It's true.
So it doesn't matter where you order it from. However, now you do it.
Yeah, I get it. However, if you'd like to order from our own little bookshop, you can go to kickbezosintheballs.org, where we have all kinds of books, including a very quick link to that aforementioned Death at Morning House. So go on over, buy some books. Who doesn't like books? Jerks, Dan, that too.
There is a Bezos-related one, I should say.
Okay, that's fine.
If you have Kindle Unlimited and no shade... right now, Truly Devious, The Vanishing Stare,
yeah,
and The Box in the Woods are all on Kindle Unlimited. I think The Hand on the Wall is not, and we don't know why. But you can at least read the first
That's
two.
That's the mystery.
Yeah, it really is. Maybe they got it fixed so that all of them are, but you can read them on Kindle Unlimited right now.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. It happens every once in a while. It's been on there a few times, and I never remember to mention it. But it's on there right now if you haven't read it.
That's super cool.
For free. I'm not against anything that helps people read for free.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm like, yeah, great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Well, if you are getting your books for free, why not spend some money on some merchandise? Perhaps go on over to the merch.sayswhopodcast.com merchandise store, where we have Says Who merchandise.
Merchandise.
Also, you can go to shop.dansinker.com, where I have some patches for sale, and I would like for you to buy them so that I can put them in an envelope and mail them to you. That's at shop.dansinker.com. Hello, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order, please?
Yeah, I'm going to have the shrimp po'boy and the crinkle fries.
We don't have a shrimp po'boy. We don't have crinkle fries.
Okay, well, can you make something that looks like a shrimp po' boy?
Not really. We can make a hamburger or a chicken sandwich or a fillet of fish.
Right.
Which I suppose if you could cut the fillet of fish into little twirls, that kind of looks like shrimp.
It does look, I mean, I don't think he knows the difference. So, I mean... If you have the crinkle fries, that would be great. I can at least start with those.
We don't have crinkle fries. We famously have very thin, very delicious fries, but they are not crinkle fries. I suppose you could order some fries and crinkle them up.
Could you crinkle them?
We won't pre-crinkle.
You can't crinkle?
We can't. We don't crinkle. If you want to crinkle, you have to crinkle yourself.
Hey, kid. You know, I have a lot of jobs that I have to do that are, I don't make a lot of sense. You know, like it's not, sometimes you have jobs and you have a boss and you have to do things that you know can't be done, but they send you in to do them anyway. You know what I mean? Do you ever have that experience?
Yeah, sometimes the shake machine isn't just broken, but it's also moldy inside and it feels like that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you get me, kid. You're the only one that does. That's why I come here, kid. Because you get me. It feels like I just do the same thing over and over again, the same impossible, stupid task. And it's relentless. It's relentless. It just goes on and on and on. And it doesn't make any sense. And he doesn't want to be there this week, kid. He's in court. He doesn't want to be there. He's upset. He's hungry. He's hangry. And he can't have his snack. There's no snack time in court, which is a real problem for us. And he can't get him his what he calls his happy sniffies. So he's tired and he's cranky and he wants his crinkle fries and a po' boy. I don't even think he knows what a po' boy is. I don't think he eats shrimp and he calls them shrimp. I don't know what to do.
Well, you could drive through, please.
I could drive through.
There's a line of cars behind you.
Well, I'm going to pull up and maybe we could talk at the next window.
I don't think that's going to happen. Because I have to take the order of the car that's behind you.
And I got to take the order of a guy who hates, he likes ketchup, likes to talk, likes shitposting, you know, he likes his snack.
Yeah.
Help me.
I can't do that. Help. But you could drive through, please.
I'm just going to sit here and have a little nap.
Oh, no.
Having a nap now. Nappy poos.
You're saying words, though. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Two.
I didn't even know we were done with that.
Yeah, we're done, says who.
Okay.
The podcast that isn't a podcast.
It's a coping strategy. I'm Dan Sinker.
And I am Maureen Johnson.
You are.
Hey, Dan.
Hello, Maureen Johnson.
How are you?
I'm okay. Weather's nice. Look at my head. Look at my head.
Yes,
last week we talked about how my hair was all sticking up. Now it's all gone.
Yeah.
Shorn.
He's like a little sheep that went out and they just took all his fuzz and made a sweater out of made of pure Dan.
Janice is walking around in a Dan sweater right now.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm all summer cutted, nice and tight.
Yeah, and he does. What's weird is that you see in the winter and the fall you get hat Dan, so he's always got a hat on.
It's true.
And the summer you get shorn Dan.
It's true.
And you always just get me looking like this. This doesn't change.
You've looked different.
Nah, not really.
Sometimes you look nice.
Savage.
What have you been up to, Maureen Johnson?
Lots of things, Dan. So we have a lot of like lifey stuff. There's some health issues going on in the in the family. Helping some people with stuff. Still helping the friend with the whole other case thing. We did go to see the movie Civil War.
Why?
I don't know. I guess part of me just, it's like I think there was a secret in there that if I went, I would find it out.
I'm not sure that there is a single piece of culture that I'm less interested in seeing than that.
Than Civil War, yeah?
Yeah. How was it?
I think partly what attracted me is the guy made 28 Days Later, and it was like the 28 Days Later of politics.
Right.
And that to me had a kind of siren call of like, I just want to see, because maybe he knows what it's going to look like.
And?
It's not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
It's not like a big disaster movie, kind of.
Okay.
I thought what it did really well is that it showed that it was about a photojournalist and this journalist basically trying to get from New York to DC to interview the president.
Okay.
During a civil war. And it was very kind of low key, strangely, in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was about weird skirmishes on roads in like Maryland, you know, like just things that looked pretty normal, and that how some places were really normal and acting like nothing was going on. And then you'd be in a complete war zone.
Right.
So it was weirdly kind of low key.
Okay.
And what it was about really was focused on this photojournalist played by Kirsten Dunst and a younger photojournalist that ends up going with them on this road trip.
Okay.
And how they she's kind of trained herself not to, she's like, I can't think about what they're actually doing. I just have to take the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, these guys at a gas station have hung some looters.
Okay.
And they're just like, hey, you know, here they are. And she's just is looking and she's like, to fuse the situation, she's like, can I just take your picture with them? And they're like, yeah, okay. So it's a lot about what it's the experience of taking the pictures of things that are happening. Right. And the horror of just the last image is this, the young girl gets the, spoiler for the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
It's about like people are, the girl, the young girl gets the shot of the people that kill the president, but she also ends up taking a picture of, I'm not going to give any more spoilers. Also, they never say
I think that one was a pretty big spoiler, I would assume.
I know when you see how the story, how the story's going, that seems pretty clear.
Okay.
But they never say which side is which. It doesn't matter. Like, there's right. no, like, this side is good, this side is bad. All you know is that there's two parts that are fighting.
Right.
There's this Texas and there's the Texas-California one. And then there's...
I read that part and I went, well, that's hilarious.
It's weird. I think they did it because it kind of signifies that it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, it's just that there are two sides.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's never identified. It's actually never identified except for one part, which side is fighting which ever.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point is like, I just
don't need to do that shit.
I know it was, but it was interesting. Like part of me, it's how I sit here and go, Dan, what's going to happen? I'm right. looking for someone to tell me what's going to happen. And I think right. that's the whole thing about this movie is like, do you guys know? Maybe these people know. Maybe these fuckers know.
Don't need it. Don't need that in my life.
Are you mad at me?
No, it's fine. Completely fine. You can go to whatever movie you'd like. This is the thing that I realized. I think we've talked a bit ago about various shows we've been watching, and we have been watching Fargo, and Fargo was like having an anxiety attack for an hour every night that you watched it. That was a very stressful show, and I think something broke in me. Because since then we've been like, well, what can we watch? And I'm just like, I don't want to watch anything fucking stressful.
Right.
And I finally announced to Janice, I was like, I think I'm entering my wussy era. I just want something nice.
I am fully committed right now to watching The Great British Menu.
So that's like a cooking show?
Yes, but it's a famous British show that they do lots of seasons of, and okay. it's long. So you get like 36 episodes.
Yeah.
And what it is they take these chefs from various parts of the country and they compete in it, but they're professional chefs.
Yeah.
And they're very good. And there's four in each start, then they get down to three, and then they get down to two for each heat.
Okay.
And in this round of it, because every year it's four cooking, they're trying to compete to put dishes into a banquet. And okay. this year it's the banquet for the Olympians in Paris.
Okay.
So it's it's a banquet for the British Olympic team.
Yeah.
So in the end, they'll compete for, you know, the starter. Then there's like a vegetarian starter and a fish course. Okay. So they compete for courses. And yeah. so it's like cooking, but sports, but it's actually like, it's pretty great. I love it. I love it.
Well, that's great.
It's like not cutesy. It's real. Like it's like they're really good chefs doing really good work, and
Is it stressful?
It can.
Yeah. See, I'm not watching it then.
Also, all their dishes have an Olympian theme or a story, so they'll dedicate them sometimes to like a single Olympian from their area, or like
right.
They'll be like in this Olympics when for example, in the 1900 Olympics, they gave them champagne to drink along the route. So like I made this champagne themed dessert to, tell the story. So they each tell, every course has to tell a story.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool like that.
All right.
And then they have a judging round that has a comedian in it. And they always have like an Olympian, and like, it's great. It's really fun.
Well, that sounds great.
I love it. It's my sports. I've decided this year I have to get into watching a sport.
Okay.
People seem to love it.
Sports is good. Turns out.
I just want to, I'm going to pick one and I'm going to decide that I'm going to watch it. Like, that's going to be my thing.
We did that. We did that last year.
Yeah.
With British football, and it turned out to be great.
And you loved it.
Yeah, it's been great.
I liked watching.
Did I tell you that we brought the little one to a bar the other week?
Why no?
when the teen was in town for his spring break, so this was probably, I don't know, a month ago or something. There was the British football team that we follow, Arsenal, was playing a game midweek, and we were like, well, that would be fun to, you know, be able to watch it. The teens in town, like, we can all watch it together. And then we were like, well, wait a second, there's an Arsenal bar in Milwaukee. And in Milwaukee, you can bring your kids into bars because Wisconsin is like that. In fact, there is no age limit at which they can drink if they are with their parents.
Seriously?
Because Wisconsin is amazing. But so we were
time to get the boy drunk.
Exactly. So we went. It was like 2 in the afternoon on a Tuesday or something. We pulled the little one out of school. We drove up to Milwaukee and we had an absolute blast. It was so much fun. We kind of sat in the back, but there were, you know, 25 people. Whenever a goal was scored, people would run around high-fiving everyone. Little one loved it. Teen loved it. It was great.
You know, sports. My nephews are English. And yeah, they are, one is 17, he's about to be 18. He may have just turned 18, because he's learning to drive.
Okay.
And learning to drive in England is hard work.
Yeah.
Much harder than the U.S.
Yeah.
Like, they make you study. Like, it is hard to, like, they really, if you pass your driving test in the U.K., it means you can drive.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are old enough to have, to order wine with a meal.
Oh, okay.
There's this weird thing that you can, if you're not 18 yet, you can order, if you order food,
uh-huh,
you can order like 2 glasses of wine or something like that.
Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so whenever I like look over and I'm like, my nephews are drinking wine. And I think of them still as like little boys. And I'm like, no, they're just sitting there, just drinking a glass of wine, being all suave. Blows my mind every time. Like, we're out at dinner and he's sitting there drinking a glass of wine. And I'm always like, wow, far out, man.
Kids, they grow up.
They grow up, but they grow up. It's different when they're European kids. Oh, yeah, sorry, totally. Not European anymore. UK, sorry.
Yeah. Hey. Formerly European kids.
When they're English kids, they can drink with their meals and it's wild to watch. Well, that's been It's Wild to Watch 'Em.
It's Wild to Watch 'Em with Maureen and Dan. Thanks for tuning in again this
week. Thanks
for
tuning in.
Yeah.
Dan, I did feel like, first of all, the weather got beautiful here.
Yeah, same.
And a lot has been going on, like life stuff, but I just had this thought walking down the street. I'm like, okay, 2024 has arrived. Like, I feel it. I don't know what it was. I'm like, oh, I just feel like it landed. Like, yeah. I felt a gear shift change. You know, it might be the giant war going on. I don't know. Like, could be so many things, Dan.
Could be that just down the street from where you are, the long-awaited first criminal trial of Donald J. Trump has gotten underway.
And boy, are we excited!
How are things? How are the vibes over in New York City right now?
No one notices it.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's happening downtown and it's fine. Like, we're all, you know, vaguely aware that it's happening. I do assume, I don't know, you're going to tell me, I'm sure, how many people that they're going to burn through trying in this jury pool.
They're working on it. Well, first, I just want to talk a little bit about the colorful characters that have shown up outside the courtroom. This is from NBC. Outside, this is from yesterday, in a sun-filled park across the street, peculiarity reigned over Pendant Tree. A smattering of pro-Trump demonstrators, some wearing costumes, other carrying signs, one temporarily lowering the top of her dinosaur-themed one-piece before writhing on the ground in performative ecstasy.
I'm sorry. Can you just read that one again?
Sure. One lowering the top of her dinosaur-themed one-piece before writhing on the ground in performative ecstasy.
We're gonna break this down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a not a dinosaur costume or just a onesie that has
sounds like a dinosaur themed one piece. I'm assuming it's like a onesie, like an adult like onesie.
Onesie with a hat, like a
hood. Like some kind of fluffy onesie.
And it looks like a tyrannosaurus
or something. Yeah,
and she lowers it. It's like. So I got this happening.
Yep.
And then she
writhes on the ground in performative ecstasy.
Like, I get it, but mostly I'm imagining her doing the worm or something, just kind of like gyrating.
Yeah.
And she's happy. Whose side is she on?
She's on Trump's side. Yeah.
And she's air humping the court.
The park across the street from the court.
Okay.
Yeah. As one does. In addition to the topless dinosaur woman, Andrew Giuliani was there.
Oh, good.
Yep. You remember when he ran for governor?
And would just shout in parking lots?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. I sure do.
He was interviewed by The Daily Show's Jordan Klepper.
Mm-hmm.
And according to this article, what Klepper wanted to know, with Giuliani amounting to a stand-in for his father, was whether Trump's rhetoric would lead to violence. Trump recently said in a fundraising email that, quote, all hell would break loose at his trial. Before the January 6th, 2021 riot at the Capitol, Trump told supporters that, quote, if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. Giuliani noted that the crowd outside the courthouse was definitely peaceful. Then he went further. I was in Washington, D.C. on January 6th as well, he said. I was with President Trump. I remember him talking about peacefully protesting. That was the gotcha moment Klepper was waiting for. Some people were talking about peaceful protests, Klepper said. Some people also on January 6th were talking about trial by combat. Do you know anybody who was talking about that? Because that's what his father, Rudy Giuliani, said on January 6th.
Did he have a reply to that?
It says the interview turned more, well, combative after that. Oh, funny guy, Andrew Giuliani said with disdain. Let's get a brain in there.
Sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful show called Hello from the Magic Tavern, which is a improv'd, incredibly funny show. And for some reason, they asked me to be on it at a Comic-Con a couple years ago.
Okay.
And the other person improv-ing...
Andrew Giuliani.
...was Jordan Klepper.
Oh,
so it was me and him, and
that's fun.
And I was improvising being a water sprite ghost, but I couldn't hear very well because of the acoustics in the room because it was live.
Okay.
So I was having a lot of trouble reacting because I could not hear.
Hmm.
It was weird acoustics. So I was like, I am the worst person here because I'm the least improv ready and I can't hear for this for shit. So.
Well, perfect.
So. But yeah, that's my, just a little, that's just a fun sidebar, Dan.
I love it. Thanks for that fun sidebar. So that was the atmosphere outside the courtroom.
Yeah.
Inside the courtroom. So we are recording this on Tuesday. They are still churning through potential jurors. At this point, it seems that they have eliminated dozens at a time. They bring in like 90 some odd people. And then they have you raise your hand if you think you can be if you can't be an impartial juror, and more than half the room raises their hand every time, and then they're dismissed. So
easiest jury service ever.
Yeah. So they have been They take the rest and they have to kind of run through, a barrage of questions for the jurors. Seems that they have somewhere around 9 at this point that are at least on the prospective list. But that's, from what I read, that's about a third of what they're going to want to end up with between the jurors and alternates and all of that. So,
Dan, yeah. Speaking as a person in Manhattan right now, who has done jury duty in that very courtroom, or at least, sat in the waiting room there. I assume what's going to happen is some sort of, imagine like a Schoolhouse Rock kind of cartoon where it's a, cartoon courtroom. And then you see this cartoon line of people just snaking out and around and down the block and getting smaller and like going all through the buildings. And then you just keep going, I get your adverbs here. Kind of like little fun song as you see everybody in New York event, then like you see people coming out of their little houses and stuff and their stores getting in line, and just everyone is like, we are all in line to do the Trump trial here, trying to form some jurors for the Trump trial here. Anyone is in the thing, do not fear. Cause if you see, are you an impartial juror?
Not me.
You'd have to be you think Trump is the Fuhrer.
You're workshopping it.
I just have to find someone else that rhymes with juror.
Fuhrer was good.
That was the best. It worked pretty good.
That was good. That was good.
They're going to burn through all of New York at this rate. I'm going to get a thing. It's not gonna, not so great. And if you see, we're all end up in line and waste a lot of time to find the Trump jury.
I did read that there were hundreds of people in the waiting room.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be in that fucking waiting room.
Yeah. So the yesterday and today, well, now it's all jury. Yesterday, the jury stuff didn't get underway until more than halfway through because they had a few things to take care of. Thing one is a correction from discussions that we've had, Maureen, because we have talked a number of times about like, well, is he going to be actually there? Is he not going to be there? Because in the previous trials that he's been in, he's kind of been in and out.
Right.
Well, neither you or I are lawyers.
No. And,
turns out one of the big differences between a criminal trial and the civil trials that he's been in is a criminal defendant has to be present. So he has to be at every day of this trial when the jury is in session. If there are days that just the lawyers are talking with the judge or whatever, he doesn't necessarily have to be at that. But if the jury is there, he has to be there.
Some hero juror, just get out there and constantly call out sick, fuck around.
Well, I think the sick days he would be able to then head out, right?
Like, yeah, but he wouldn't be able to plan anything.
No, he wouldn't. So that a lot of what yesterday morning was them haggling over exactly that, right? So, for instance, next week, and we'll certainly talk about this next week, the Supreme Court is going to be hearing yet another Trump has absolute immunity case, and Trump wanted to go down to D.C. for that. The judge said no. He wanted to be able to, I guess this judge doesn't tend to have court on Wednesdays. And so his Trump's people were like, well, can we start to plan campaign events and things like that for Wednesdays? And if we have something planned, is it okay if he isn't there, if it happens? And the answer there was like, well, if the jury's there, he's got to be there. Otherwise, yeah, he can do what he wants on a Wednesday. Finally, they asked if he could attend Barron's high school graduation. Remember Barron Trump? That kid still exists. His high school graduation is next month. The judge said, let's wait on that one. Didn't fully rule it out, though Trump later went on Truth Social and decried the judge not allowing him to attend his son's high school graduation.
Like, but he was going to go anyway.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? So the judge basically was like, let's see where we're at in this trial at that point. Thing two, prosecutors and defense made arguments about how much Trump's cheating past should be admissible in court.
You mean his sexual cheating on his wife? Okay.
Yes. on various wives. How far back do you want to, you know, are we allowed to go? How much do we, you know, the obviously the prosecution, because the crux of this case, if you want a quick reminder, is that Donald Trump had an affair with Stormy Daniels, and near the end of the campaign, 2016 campaign, she got paid off to not reveal her story, and got paid off by Michael Cohen, and then Michael Cohen got paid back, and they misrepresented those payments to Michael Cohen. That's the center of this whole case.
Right.
So prosecutors want to be able to show, like, him having affairs, him paying off people to not reveal their story about affairs. This is not a one and done thing, right? Like, they want to be able to show that this is a dude who does this a lot. So first thing that came up was the Access Hollywood tape. You remember that one? The whole grab them by the pussy tape. So whether or not that would be admissible as evidence, they finally decided that the tape would not be played to jurors, but that the transcript could be read to jurors. So that will show up. A lot of time was spent arguing over a different affair that Trump had at basically the same time with Playboy model Karen McDougal. Trump's team didn't want any of that admissible. The prosecution argued that they want to be able to show, because Karen McDougal had her story in a catch and kill agreement with the National Enquirer, which is who connected Michael Cohen with Stormy Daniels to begin with. So they want to be able to show in their narrative that this is, you know, this is a thing that he was doing at the time. It was finally decided that, yes, they could talk about the Karen McDougal affair. But no, they could not mention that that affair happened when Melania was pregnant with Barron, because the judge felt that that would prejudice the jury against Donald Trump. Finally, the other part of the morning yesterday was prosecutors arguing that Trump has already violated the gag order that is against him with a string of tweets that very morning about Michael Cohen, the judge, and DA Bragg. Today, the prosecutors filed a motion to hold Trump in contempt of court on three counts. That would result in about $1,000 fine for each one. So we'll see how that keeps escalating. I'm sure that it will. But Maureen Johnson.
But wait, can I ask one question?
Sure.
Just because I can't remember anymore.
Yeah.
How did we ever remind me how we found out about Stormy Daniels again?
Stormy Daniels came out with it.
Did she That's have an...
A, she had that lawyer, Michael Avenatti, I believe was his name.
Right.
Who's now in jail himself.
Right. Right.
They had a whole 60 Minutes episode.
Was the payoff, was there an NDA involved, or is that?
I'm a little bit fuzzy on that. I believe that there was some sort of NDA involved, and that she, but that was unenforceable. And then that was the kind of impetus for
right.
going forward with it.
Right.
But,
all right.
But yeah.
Well, Dad, how's he doing in court?
Well, Maureen Johnson.
See that?
For our purposes, the biggest story of the day yesterday, and now also today, Tuesday, is that Donald Trump is having a really hard time staying awake in court.
It's tough. It's hard.
From Same. The New York Times, quote, even as the judge was hearing arguments on last-minute issues in a criminal case that centers on salacious allegations and threatens to upend his bid for presidency, Mr. Trump appeared to nod off a few times, his mouth going slack and his head drooping onto his chest. The former president's lead lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him notes for several minutes before Mr. Trump appeared to jolt awake and notice them. According to the Washington Post, former President Donald Trump closed his eyes and at times appeared to nod off Monday afternoon in a Manhattan courtroom as prospective jurors were instructed on what they would need to serve on the jury in his hush money criminal trial. Shortly after the lunch break, after the first batch of about 100 prospective jurors filed in and Judge Mershon, began to explain the process to them, Trump closed his eyes several times. He then abruptly caught himself and stiffened his posture. His attorneys, Todd Blanche and Emile Bove, refilled his drink and gave each other an awkward look at the defense table.
This is exciting.
Isn't it, though?
This is a new twist that I like. Because, like, what do you do? Like, he can't just take, you know, his Coke breaks.
Right.
You know, he has to sit there and he can't just get up or sit down. Like, you can't.
You sure don't want to, like, pump him up. You know, like, whoever administers his morning cocktail.
Right.
You know, you can't really just, like, send him in fully wired up, because he does just have to sort of sit there and bide his time. So you really don't want him just, like, juiced to the gills.
Right.
But now it appears that you need to do something, because this man's going to fall asleep.
But also he'll crash when it wears off. So it's right. Like, what's the time amount before he crashes?
Yeah.
So if you give it to him and he has to sit there for 2 hours, you know, is he going to crash after an hour?
Right. I mean, this is a man that can't sit still, period. Right?
Right.
And now he's got to sit still 4 days a week for weeks.
Yeah. Like, really still.
Yeah.
He can't talk.
Nope.
I mean, this not really thinking about it, is going to be the hardest thing he's ever done.
Well, and, you know, there was a lot of kind of meaningless chatter when there were the questions of could he or could he not meet the $450 million appeal bond that he needed to make, and how the worst thing possible for Donald Trump would be to appear to be insolvent, right? That this would really crush him in the eyes of his, you know, devoted followers. But I think him nodding off repeatedly during the court case, that feels far more damaging to me, especially when, you know, his whole attack line against Joe Biden is that he's like Sleepy Joe, you know, like, and right. Now here this dude is going to be, and now, like, the journalist, so there is no live feed. This is not a trial on TV, right? But there are journalists present, and they have a closed circuit TV for an overflow room for more journalists. So now they smell blood in the water, right? And they are watching every fucking head bob that he's going to do. But yeah, I think him not being able to hack it, just sitting in a courtroom and falling asleep, is far more damaging than him losing his, you know, losing his temper or whatever.
Yeah, this is something. This is exciting.
It's a twist.
This is a twist. This is pretty good. And what? Yeah, it's going to be really. It. Yeah. Wow. Do you think it's just the drugs, or is it, you know, just, you know, when you're 78, like, you need a nap or two. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
But. Yeah. I mean, I'm not 78, and I enjoy a nap.
There's nothing wrong with it. Delicious. No.
Yeah.
Healthy.
Yeah, without a doubt.
But just not being able to talk, not being stimulated.
Yeah.
Not really following what's going on, getting bored.
Right.
I think that could be a lot of it. Like, he's just going to get bored.
He's definitely going to get bored.
And this man doesn't do well with boredom.
No. And also, I do wonder, like, so arguably the boringest part of this is happening right now, right? Where it's just jury stuff, and, you know, they're asking the same questions over and over and over and over again. That, you know, they're sort of about him, so he will perk up. I read a anecdote that, you know, one potential juror said that he had read Art of the Deal, and like, apparently Donald Trump, like, perked up at that, you know. But I do wonder, like, these judges are going to be, or judges, these jurors, potential jurors, are going to be looking at Trump if he's, like, snoozing during this. Like, that feels prejudicial. Like, it, like, they get in and they're like, this dude was, like, asleep half the time. Like, while we had given up our day to sit there. Like, that doesn't feel like you're getting off on the right foot with these folks.
He's, you know, he's fidgety. He's either going to be fidgeting or napping.
Right.
The whole time.
Right.
He's either going to be twitching or sleeping, because there's so much of court is boring.
Yeah.
Like the parts where you get the information, like a lot of it is just kind of retread.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not going to like it. Ah, we didn't think of this at all.
And he has to be there. He can't decide, you know what? I'm not showing up.
We never thought that boredom would crush him.
Turns out
his, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful, nonviolent way of taking someone down. You just bore them out. Just like get them so bored that they pass out. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty exciting.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting. I'm going to be very curious to see the strategies that the attorneys start to do to kind of bump him away.
What are they going to do? Set up firecrackers in his pockets?
I don't know. I love the detail of this one attorney, like just kind of passing note. Like, what did the notes say? Like, wake up. Like,
is it just a picture of a post-it with pictures of boobs on it?
Is he just like, is he sticking him on his sleeping body? One time, back in the Punk Planet days, we shared this big warehouse space with a screen printer, Jay Ryan, who prints under the name The Bird Machine. And we would often go get lunch together or whatever. But Jay, one day I went and went in to see, you know, I was like, I'm going to go get food. What does he want? And he was asleep in like his chair, you know, because he would often print like most of the night and then kind of take naps. We were a big napping crew. It was great. And so I wrote a note on a piece of paper that just said, like, would you want a sandwich? And then I just laid it across his chest as he slept. And so when he finally woke up, he just yelled in from the other room, like, I would. I just kind of imagine that, like, suddenly Donald Trump's just sitting there and he's got post-its stuck all over him. Then he's like, huh?
I really want to talk to someone who has taken a bunch of Adderall to find out, like, what the timing is on that.
Yeah, right?
Because it seems like people that take that kind of stuff have to go and do it a bunch.
Right.
Like, you hear about people who take cocaine and they go and they get up every, like, 20 minutes or something and go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
He's going to need some real like designer cocktail that can be like the time releases.
Do you think it's a cocaine thing, Dan, or is it Adderall cocaine? What do you think it is?
I would guess that he doesn't do straight up lines of coke anymore, right? Like, I think that it's more just like, oh, this is my medicine from my doctor, you know, like, and all of that in air quotes.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, I think that it's pills more than it is just like doing straight lines off
also,
a hooker or whatever.
Not for nothing. Like, if you're on those kind of drugs and you're not taking them at the schedule that you need to. I mean, I guess there's nothing that says in court you can't take a pill.
I just like the idea that like by week four, he's just fucking popping pills during court.
I mean, you could say they were Tylenol or something. Like, I don't think that's against the law.
Right.
To have a pill in your pocket and just slip it in your mouth and swallow it.
Right. I mean, I have to allow bathroom breaks and stuff, right?
Right. Like, I could see him, you know, taking his medicine. But his, because if you don't, I think you could probably get into trouble in different ways. Your heart rate or, you know, just all kinds of stuff. This is an exciting, this is exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is.
What else we got?
Well, Maureen Johnson.
Yeah.
In other news, House Speaker Mike Johnson may not be House Speaker for much longer. A couple weeks ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene put forward a resolution to vacate. If you remember back to whenever it was last fall, right? Or something where,
who knows, Dan? Yeah.
Where Republicans spent 3 weeks trying to get a new speaker because when they originally kind of allowed, what's his name? The best thing is I've already forgotten that dude's name. What was that guy? What was him? I can see his face. I can see his stupid little face and his little swept up hair. Right? It's gone. Wiped from memory. Anyway,
yeah, I don't
that
know.
Dude. when that dude originally became speaker, they made a deal that you could vacate him with one person bringing that to the floor. You know, it was brilliant at the time. And that's what happened exactly. That's how we ended up with Mike Johnson after 15 votes in 3 weeks. Now Marjorie Taylor Greene has put forward a resolution to vacate, but has not filed it as a motion yet, right? So she's just sort of, she's taken out the gun, but she hasn't fired it. This weekend, now Kentucky House member Thomas Massey has announced that he was signing on to that as well, and posted to Twitter that he thinks Johnson should resign instead. It's not on the House floor yet. It's more being used sort of as a sort of Damocles over Johnson as he attempts to navigate a bunch of foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. Republican majority is now down to just 2 votes. So if this does go forward, it's up to Democrats to save his ass. If this foreign aid bill's passed, it's up to Democrats to save his ass. And that's the trick. They don't want him doing anything with the Democrats. So, almost certainly if this aid passes, he will be, the motion to vacate will hit the floor, right? And then it's up to Democrats as to whether they'll bail him out.
I guess we'll see.
It's good times.
I mean,
good times. It's definitely not at all a poorly thought through strategy to put themselves into this exact same infighting in an election year where they're all up for re-election. So that should go great for them. And finally, in other news, Maureen, yesterday I asked myself, what has Rudy Giuliani been up to? I don't know why that came up into my head.
It's worth asking.
Turns out that that same day, he lost his bid to dismiss the $148 million defamation judgment against him. He had tried, he had appealed it, he wanted it dismissed, he wanted a new trial. The judge wrote, Judge Beryl A. Howell, U.S. District Judge, wrote in her ruling, quote, Giuliani's renewed notion urging this court to reverse its prior findings and rulings and to override the jury's considered verdict on the basis of 5 threadbare arguments.
Savage.
Falls well short of persuading that the evidence and all reasonable inferences that can be drawn therefrom are so one-sided that reasonable men and women could not have reached a verdict in the plaintiff's favor. So he's stuck with it.
He's broke.
He is broke.
He bet it all, Dan.
He sure did.
He did it. He bet it all. And he, you know what? I feel like there should be a beautiful song playing over him. He bet it all and he lost.
Granted, he bet it on a really bad bet.
Dan, what if I got called up to jury duty and I got
to watch him
napping?
It would be great. You should go for it.
Is there a limit? So they only started yesterday. So
right.
How many hundreds of people did they go through yesterday?
It seems that they, because they started late, they had all this shit that they had to deal with. So they started in the afternoon. It sounds like they brought in about 100 people yesterday and dismissed 50 right off and ended up with about 9. And then I don't think they brought in another 100 yesterday, but they brought in they've brought in at least one other round this morning.
I'm genuinely amazed they found 9.
Well, it's like 9 that they
are going to,
I know at least one of them showed up today and was like, you know what? Overnight, I realized I can't be an impartial juror.
Right.
And they were like, cool, thanks. Another one showed up and said she was experiencing flu-like symptoms. And so they were like, you need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Couple more, at least as of when I had read, hadn't shown up yet. So.
Heroes.
Yeah. So
The heroes we need. Those people.
I think it's going to take a long time. to actually end up with the, like, you know, however many, because it's what, it's 12 plus some number of alternates. So, you know, they need a bunch, and
right.
It's going to take a while, especially because, like, I mean, who in their right mind is going to be like, oh, cool. Yep. That's me. I'm going to do this.
Also, again, court is like, when I was on this murder jury, one time we asked for the court to send us like part of the transcript.
Yeah.
We say, could we get the answer about blah, blah, blah? And they were like, sure, hang on. And we sat there for 3 hours waiting for them to give us these like two sentences from the transcript.
Yeah.
And then after over 3 hours, maybe it was four. I remember it was a long time we sat there. And they finally were like, that was, we can't give you that. It was stricken from the record or something. So there's a lot of that. Like just waiting for stuff, waiting for just people and waiting, you know, because everybody's got to be doing the thing. And there's so much just dicking around and waiting for people and jurors. And like, the subway's late. My ass itches. You know, if it rains here, the subways don't run. So like rainy days are going to be like, well, they're coming, but you know, the subways are flooded. You know, just there's so much, like there's traffic. There's so much dumb bullshit that you could be like, I'm in the cab. I'm on the way.
Yeah.
There's a hold up. I had to go over to Brooklyn. I'm stuck in the bridge. Again, truly, every time it rains.
Yeah.
Every time it rains, the subway's flood, and someone could be like, I'm stuck, literally, I'm on the subway.
Yeah.
And the subway has stopped.
Yeah.
So much dumb dicking around. You could draw this out forever. It's a beautiful thing. It's not going to draw it forever, but it will definitely like fuck around with it enough to be super duper annoying.
Yeah.
Combined with like the him sleeping.
Right.
And him just having to wait for people and then having to listen to like things being repeated and like, you know, boring, like go back and forth and then pausing to like find out, it's going to be fabulous.
Well, I mean, to me, there's also the kind of added thing of when he finally gets to not be in court. Right. It feels like he's going to be this sort of like super stretch taut rubber band that's suddenly released. Right. And he is going to fucking lose his goddamn mind. The first rally that he holds.
He's going to have a zoomie.
Yeah. He's going to have a zoomie. Exactly. He's going to be like a dog when they finally let him outside or whatever. And they're like, bzz, 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 bzz. But that zoomie might land him in contempt of court.
Yeah, that's true. Like before there were no real ramifications. And now like, because he's a criminal defendant in so many things, there are. And there's lots of things that could get him fucked around with and like have him, I don't know, rearrested or I don't know.
Yeah.
I will say that in 2024, the difference of the last 8 years is that I've totally tuned out the rallies.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what he says or what he does. He could sit there. And as long as he didn't actively murder someone while he was standing there.
Yeah.
Because he's going to say the most horrific things ever. He's going to say stuff that makes no sense. Like, it's all going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So, So we're past, we're way past that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So we're just tuning that out. That frees up a lot of time so we've tuned him out on a couple different, Twitter has crashed.
Right.
He can't be, he's not on it anyway.
Right.
His rallies are just like for weirdos.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be in court a bunch and napping. And like, that is why it's like, it feels like it's all over there when it in fact is right in front of us.
Yep. Speaking of crashing, Maureen.
Okay.
Truth Social, which we talked about just a few weeks ago, going on to the New York Stock Exchange.
I invested heavily, so how's it doing?
Well, good job.
Okay.
You made a bunch of money on day one.
Okay, cool.
And it has been going down ever since.
Oh.
Its initial offering price was about $50 a share, peaked at about $80 a share very shortly, Now it's at $25 a share.
What was the peak again?
$80.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now it's at 25, still going down.
Good job, suckers. Enjoy your sneakers and your stocks.
My favorite thing about it is, and I did not know this at the time, it's stock ticker ID or whatever you call it. It's DJT. His actual initials,
of course,
are tanking, which is pretty fun.
I just want to say, I just wanted to check to see exactly what they were doing in the court right now.
Yeah.
And Trump attorney appeals for more time. Judge says they will go through list after lunch. That's another really dumb, boring thing he's going to have to do, is sit through other people having lunch.
Yeah.
That I enjoy a lot. You know what I mean? Like that, just that is, oh, also there in CNN has like woman dismissed from jury pool, describe what she saw Trump in court. Like there's going to be a lot of people that are like, oh, I went in there. You want to hear some weird shit that's going on in there? But just the fact that he has to sit around and wait while other, just like, this is what I'm imagining. Him just sitting there like, yeah, you know, just like farting and twitching and one eye is closing, one eye is like booging out and like his hair is just spontaneously sticking up on end. And just someone over here with like a Subway sandwich, like, got the turkey. And he and someone's like, do you got any chips? Just checking their phone, drinking a Snapple. And he just has to sit there and wait while other people drink Snapples.
Yeah.
And eat like bodega sandwiches. Because a lot of jury duty, I remember, was like trying to figure out where to get something for lunch. Because they're anywhere around here to get a sandwich. So everyone was like going out like, I got to get like, because you couldn't like maybe have some food in the jury pool. But yeah, I got to go find a sandwich. And they come back in. They're like, did you get a sandwich? What kind of sandwich you get? Nah, just unwrapping paper. Just having to sit while other people just get to eat their bodega sandwiches.
Yeah.
And he has to wait on them. He has to wait until they've eaten every fucking crumb of that bodega sandwich. Every that chopped cheese or whatever it is they're eating, he's got to sit and fucking wait. Because Billy over there, he needed a vegan bowl. So he had to go two extra blocks to get the fuck. I've been there, my friend. I had to go two extra blocks. I was like, you got something I can eat? I got 40 minutes left. What do you got? And then you come back and you got to wait in line. You got to go through that. And I was like, I was busy eating my sandwich. Now I'm in line for this at the metal detector. And oh, it's so boring. It's so much of it is going to be other people's sandwich related. I fucking love it. I love that.
You know what this monologue has made me, Maureen?
Hungry.
Fucking starving.
Ah, can I just tell you two exciting things? One,
yes,
is that bodegas now, a lot of them have a line of entirely plant-based, like breakfast sandwiches even, like everything. So they have a full line. And also one of our best bagel places around here, like this really, really good deli, now has a complete line of like vegan cheeses and fully vegetarian, like pastrami sandwiches and Reubens and like fully. Like I just walked past and was like, wait, what? Like, and I gave a big thumbs up.
I like a pastrami sandwich. And I like a Reuben. Oh.
He's going to have to wait for all of that. It's going to be so fucking dull. It's dull when you're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's just going to be so mad that he has to wait. I love it.
Well, on that note, Says Who is made possible by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. That's our Patreon where you can get this all over again on a Sunday if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level. And that $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail. because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. Our theme music is performed by Ted Leo. Thank you, Ted. Our logo was designed by Darth. You can contact us at Says Who Podcast on Threads or at Says Who at omfg.town on Mastodon. You can email at hey, that is H-E-Y, at sayswhopodcast.com. You can join the discussion on Facebook at /group/SaysWhovians. Our Facebook group is moderated by Janice Dillard. There's also the fan-run Discord server at tinyurl.com/SaysWhoDiscord. Whatever you do, though, spread the word, subscribe, leave stars and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you can listen. And you can join us next Wednesday, April 24th, for our very next episode. From my basement in what is a very sunny Chicago, I am Dan Sinker.
Do you think they're going to have a jury by next week?
I would guess they'll have a jury by next week, yeah.
But then there'll be like some weird, boring bullshit where it can't get started. And
yeah.
Oh, Dan, there's going to be so much dumb bullshit. And I am here for 100% of it.
Well, I mean, you've got like the Trump trial strategy is delay as much as possible.
Right.
But, like, now their delays only delay, they delay him too. It's not, you know, now it's like his lawyers want to kind of throw up roadblocks in court. He's got to sit there while all of those roadblocks are argued.
Yeah. It's going to be so, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, he's just going to have to sit there through boring. Oh, I love it.
So he's going to get, eventually he will get really pissed at his lawyers because he will feel like his lawyers are wasting his time, despite the fact that they are enacting the strategy that he wants them to enact.
I love it. I love it, Dan.
How long before one of these lawyers is gone? Give it 2 weeks
days.
Max. Oh,
I'm going.
Nice.
You're probably more correct, but I'm going to go for 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, if... also, Dan, just... dot FYI.
It's done.
Come on.
It's done.
Come on, Dan.
It's officially done. I sent a note out Sunday night saying that I can't pull it off.
You can.
I can't, though. I got too many other things.
Disagree.
For daily this shit.
Disagree. What have you got going on, Dan? Nothing. Come on.
Nope. Not happening.
Coward.
Not happening.
Coward.
Say your name.
No.
I want to eat a sandwich.
Uh-uh. This is what Trump...
I'm going to have a tuna sandwich.
This
I'm
is
ready
what Trump,
for it.
This is what Trump feels like right now.
I just want to eat a sandwich.
This has been...
Says Who.
Ah!
Yeah. Yeah, I can finish that.
Go have your sandwich.
I'm gonna eat a tuna sandwich. I'm so excited.